welcome to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everyone? Let's see if my LASIK surgery is working here. Oh, yeah. I can put these away. So, there we go. Yeah, praise God for thousands of dollars spent. He said, don't talk about your eyes when you get up there. So, I want to welcome all our guests online. Thank you. Hope, Scott, you're listening. I sold Scott a Bible last night, one of my vintage Bibles. I collect a lot of Bibles. I have tons of Bibles, trying to build a stairway to heaven. And I like Bibles, so, but I have to sell them because I do. And he said he'd watch me online, Tucson, Arizona. Well, again, I'm thankful for the opportunity to come up here and share. I know the women's event was awesome. Yesterday, Pastor Derek mentioned that. Carla came home very excited. Thought Christy, did I see Christy? There she is. Did a great job. And Nancy, thank you for your vision. Always, these women events are party time. Just thank you, really, for, you know, you and Pastor Joe, 29 years here. Hadn't been easy. I've served a lot of senior pastors. Left a lot of staff. Pastor Joe said I was the common denominator of why. Well, I never got fired, but I've been here 14 years. I was here when we started, and just thank you again for Nancy, mainly Nancy, for she's the encourager, you know. So for just bearing up, it hadn't been easy. And the senior pastor's wives are the ones that usually take the brunt of the pressure. So thank you all for your service. Gives us all a place to work and get paid, Pastor Matthew. Yes. Well, I want to share a little bit about the pursuit of God, our primary purpose. This is a one-off Sunday. And don't pay attention to the watch. It means nothing. So this is a one-off Sunday. In other words, we don't have a series going, and it's just Pastor Joe gave me the opportunity to preach whatever. I felt the Lord gave me this. Just so you'll kind of know where I'm coming from, all of our pastors have different functions. We all do some similar things together in our lay leaders. But primarily what I do is help new people come into the church. A couple of us do the membership class. But what excites me is getting someone that maybe hasn't been going to church for years and years and years, and they're just coming back in to the church, and then we'll have a meeting, we'll share. And one of the main things that I do is just I try to find out where they are in their spiritual journey. Because we're all on a journey, right? We're all on a journey. And so some people just haven't been active. They haven't been pursuing God. They haven't been pursuing the things of God. And what I'm talking about is not just coming to church, right? This is just 1 hour out of 7 days. There's your life with God is 24/7. 24/7. So some people are just, they're just needing some guidance. So I'll usually start out, some of us that meet and mentor people here, there's plenty of us. I just say, okay, take the Gospel of John, and I want you to read one chapter a day, and then we'll get back next week. Now, most of the people do that, but you'd be surprised who don't. You'd be surprised who don't. The Gospel of John is the most exciting book out of the 66 books, in my humble opinion. And one guy came back and said, I didn't get anything out of it. I said, what'd you read? I told you the Gospel of John, not the Epistles of John. No one, those are too deep for you right now. What I need you to do is read the Gospel of John. You'd be surprised. There was a couple of people I'm thinking of now that told their girlfriend, told their wife, so Pastor Robert said, read, I'm not going to do that. Okay, all right. So I'll meet with you another time or two, but I'm a pastor. I'm not a clinical psychologist, right? And everybody said, thank God. Right? We're not professional counselors. We give pastoral care. We are shepherds. We lead you in a spiritual journey, right? But you've got to have it in you to want to pursue God with all your heart, or this life in church becomes kind of like a club. Your tithe is your dues. Your small groups are your, I don't know. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying, in the light of where the church is now in America, especially, we're a little bit in a bubble here. Texas and Dallas, we're the buckle of the Bible Belt. We're kind of immune to some of these other places. People have to live with such a dark canopy over them. But we're all called to pursue God with all our hearts, all our minds, and all our souls. When Jesus said, the first commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? That's active. That's not passive. Passive would be don't steal, right? Don't commit murder. Those are more passive. But loving God is active. You have to be activated internally, right? You have to be activated in wanting to pursue God. That's what our church is about. We're about people that are seeking God. So when I meet with people, it's like, where are you in your journey? How can I help you? Now, different guys will do different things and give books, and we got Bible studies we take people, but I usually start out Gospel of John. If you can't read the Gospel of John, then you're not really serious. You want me to cast the devil out of your wife so your life will be happy. Right? Usually she brings him in there for me to cast the devil out of him. And so we do that a little bit, but that's not the primary purpose, right? God is calling us all to pursue him. He's calling us all to come after him. You have to do it with all your heart. You have to do it with a radical abandonment, right? I know we all hit dips and valleys. We get dry. We don't want to really pursue. But it's more than coming to church. It's more than just reading your Bible. There's a hunger and a thirst that every Christian has to have in these last days. These are the last days. If the last days were 2,000 years ago, some people out there are picking dates. Those dates have come and gone. You don't know, unless we're all left here and the rapture happened and we got left. I don't know. Some of you may get left. Anyway, so. Hallelujah. So let me read you a scripture. I got to preaching and gobbled up a bunch of times. So God shows no partiality with people. There is no hierarchy in the body of Christ. He calls us all. Pastor Joe, the pastoral staff, all have to seek and search for God like the newest member in the body. The requirement is the same. There's plenty of scriptures that God shows no partiality. That's what the John the Baptist did. When the Pharisees came, who were the hierarchy, remember? He said, who told you to flee of the wrath to come? You brood of vipers. That's not a very good Sunday morning text. But he said, don't think because you're the children of Abraham that you've got some special privilege. You don't, because John the Baptist said, God can take these stones and raise up children. And that's true. So we all have to come. We all have to pursue the Lord. Let me read you 1 Peter 2:9. I ain't even gotten into my notes yet. Lord, have mercy. I love this. It just kind of shows you. He's writing it to Christians. He's not writing it to bishops and archbishops and senior pastors. He's writing it to the church in general. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, us Gentiles, who had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. And you think, okay, well, that's New Testament. Well, the Old Testament, he actually took that out of the Old Testament, Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Sorry, guys, this is not in my notes. It was extra, early morning extra add-on. He says, now therefore, now this is God telling Moses what to tell the children of Israel, right? Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. So it's not, he's not talking to Moses exclusively. He's talking to millions of people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. God is looking for priests and kings to pursue him and follow him. You're not just a member of a church. When I used to do a lot of campus evangelism, you could always tell those that had the word put in them, but yet are now backslidden, right? So you could just share a few things, and by their reaction, you could tell where they were. If they get convicted, obviously they were raised in a pretty godly home, right? Raised in a godly home because they had the word in them. But inevitably, someone said, well, I'm a good person. I go to church. I don't go every Sunday. Okay. Going to church is good. But what we're looking for here in our church is those that are hungering and thirsting after God. And I know that's what you want, right? That's what you want. We're all on the same plane, right? We've all come out of the world, right? The women's tea. What was the question in the women's tea? If you had a chance to meet one person, can't be Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Everybody would choose that. I asked Carla who she would choose and to have dinner with. Is that what it was? So I'm sitting there listening. I'm thinking, who would I want to have dinner with? And I thought, my dad's dad. I didn't know him. And Abraham. No, I tell you who I'd want. I want Adam. That's who I want. That's who I want. Grandpa. I sit down, Adam. First question. Carla said, well, would you talk to him about what it would be like in the garden and just how beautiful? No. What I would say is, bruh, what were you thinking? What, you were sitting right there when your woman ate that apple and threw us all into this turmoil. Now my back hurts. I got arthritis in my shoulder. I got to wear glasses. What were you thinking? And you probably say, well, my woman, I didn't want to leave her. She would have got kicked out, and I didn't want to be without her. So I ate the fruit. Pastor Joseph, they're shaking, said, no. So get you another woman. It would have cost you another rib is what it would have cost you. So what I'm talking about today, I don't know if I'll ever make my point, is that what I'm talking about takes a little extra. It takes a little extra. Thank you for reading your Bible. Thank you for coming to church. Thank you for giving. Thank you for serving. The Bible says that God doesn't forget the service to his saints in the book of Hebrews. Doesn't forget it. He knows. So serving God and all of that, but really what he really wants is you'll find in the Gospels, you remember Mary and Martha? How many times have you heard that sermon? Right? That Martha sat, Mary sat at his feet. Martha was doing all the work. Somebody had to fix the food. I appreciate Martha. I mean, who wants to have a meeting and not have food, right? But he said Mary chose the best part, to sit and seek after him. And that's what God wants from us. But you're going to have to do some things that aren't just your basic Christian walk. No condemnation. We're not talking about going to heaven or hell. Anytime you start talking like, well, I'm going to hell, you saying I'm not going to heaven? Yes, you're going to heaven. We're not talking about heaven and hell and salvation. We're talking about pursuing God. Your primary purpose in life is to pursue Him, and that's where you'll be the most fulfilled. That's where the power of God will start working in your life. And I don't care if you're a minister, I don't care if you're the Pope, I don't care where you stand with God on your journey, everybody's purpose is to pursue Him. Just because. I read this thing on Instagram. Y'all know who The Rock is, Dwayne Johnson. Got 370 million followers. So before you judge, make sure you get some followers. So I don't know that he's a Christian, but this is, I thought was good. He says, the quiet work we do when no one else is watching is the difference maker. Doing the extra stuff that you don't have to do, but you do it anyway. The work we put in that's not on the schedule and is beyond what's required. If you want God, if you're in a dry spot, if you're wondering what the next step is, if you will pursue Him with a reckless abandonment, you will find Him. If you seek him with all your heart. The mentality has been one of the anchoring success pillars over the years. Every day, inch by inch, everything is a cinch, right? You can find a lot of this teaching even as back as in the 40s. A.W. Tozer wrote some books, The Pursuit of God. Christianity Today said it was named the list of 100 books of the century. It's just what it is, pursuing God. In 2006, he wrote The Knowledge of the Holy, which is the attributes of God. It marked the 50 books that have shaped evangelicals. This is all about just going that extra mile and serving the Lord. I learned this years ago. Some of the guys laugh because when I tell my journey, we bounced around a lot. We were here, we were there, we were in Houston, we were in Dallas, we went to Phoenix, pastored a church, went back to Mississippi, came back here. Joe said, you leave again, don't come back. So I came back anyway, aren't you glad? Yeah. Nancy wanted me back, so. So Pastor Ilya, y'all remember him? Yeah. Still mad at him, but anyway. He used to sit there and I'd hear him go ping, ping, ping. And you know what he's doing? Every time I mentioned where I used to live or somewhere in the journey, I said, I'm sorry, you've only lived in Dallas and Sacramento. So you're not a world lower 40 states like me. So yeah, lower 48. He's not gonna be invited to my birthday party, I promise you that. So we were sent out to Phoenix, and Sojourn was starting. It was the late 80s. We went out there. Everything was great. Took over a great little church. We're still good friends with, you know, most everybody. We did a bunch of weddings, like 8 weddings, so we're close to them. A couple of the people here went with us. They're still out there the last 30 years. And I just hit a wall. After about 2 years, I hit a nasty wall. The national organization had dissolved, much like our C3, but this one dissolved after 20 years. We were left just trying to figure out. I didn't want to be a pastor. I went out there to be a campus evangelist. Turn or burn. That was the only sermon I ever had to have. Turn or burn. Flip or fry, you know. And so I was left with 100 people that needed a pastor. I just didn't want to be one. And so I was struggling internally with that. We had we had 3 kids at the time. The economy just tanked. If those old enough to remember 1990, the whole global recession, you remember that? Bush Senior was the president. He made some, you know, decisions that lost him the election in the area of the budget, economy. And so everything seemed to be coming down. And all I was doing was just trying to hold the ship together. People were losing jobs. The economy of the church bottomed out. I was making some dumb financial decisions to keep us floating. And I just like, you know, I don't want to be here anymore. I mean, I love the people. First 2 years were honeymoon. The next 2 years were bad. People didn't want us to leave. But it's a long story, but I just hit a wall. I just couldn't sleep. Food didn't taste right. I quit seeking and pursuing the Lord because I was just reading the Bible to get a message, reading the Bible to get, you know, the burnout rate with the pastoral staff in churches is astronomical. Do you know America is losing churches every month? We're in the negative. We're losing more than, now there's some being added, but it doesn't offset what we're losing. The church is in a decline. And I think right here is one of the main reasons. We are not pursuing God, and God will just let it happen. You can see it in the Old Testament. You can see it through the kings. That you'd have one king pursuing the Lord and it'd be revival. Then the next king would let in all this idol worship. So if you study the kings, it's fascinating to read through the mistakes that they made. And it was always because their attention was not on God. If you would just pay attention to me, your burnt offerings mean nothing to me when your heart is far from me. And that's what he was calling. And that's what he was calling us to do. So Pastor Terry Moore from Sojourn that sent us out, Joe said, you just need to come back to Dallas. And I just said, well, you know what? I got to find, what am I going to do with these 100 people? So I found a church that was aligned with us, and we merged, and I left. And so I just went through a horrible crisis, dark night of the soul. Like, to think about it, I'd get emotional. But what I learned, I wouldn't want to go back through it for $10 million, but I wouldn't take $10 million for it. Because what I found was the secret to a vibrant Christian life. And that is in pursuit of God just because he's God. You pursue him. Oh, wait a minute, should I read the Bible? There's a lot of things you can do. I'm not here to give you a bunch of can-dos. What I'm trying to do is spark in you this desire to pursue God. We're getting ready to open another campus. We want to see people come to know the Lord. We want to see people hungry for God. I want you to be comfortable, but I want you to pursue him. That's my whole bent when I meet with people, when I counsel, when they're having marital problems, when they're coming into the church. Where is your spiritual life? Assess that. Assess that. The Apostle Paul said it this way. This may be my first Christmas. Brethren, I do not count myself to have obtained or apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Apostle Paul, still pursuing, still pushing. Paul stresses the fact that he's still not where he wants to be. He's incomplete. He recognizes his incompleteness. In other words, he has a need. And the only way to grow is to know more of Jesus. That's our call. That's our purpose, right? That's our call. That's our purpose. So slowly but surely, I began to try to rebuild my world, my internal world. And it took a long time to get rid of the suicidal thoughts, the depression. I had to get a job. I got a job at Weir's. Got out of the ministry and just kept repenting of everything. I repented of everything. I repented of killing the family parakeet. So, Pretty Bird was the name of the bird we raised from a hatchling. It was a family bird, everybody loved him. And Robert, the black sheep of the family, killed the bird accidentally. So, can you be innocent and guilty at the same time? So my family kept trying to ask me what happened. I wouldn't tell them. All I knew was the bird was dead and his neck was broken. I was like 12. I didn't confess anything to anybody, not with that family. I wasn't going to tell them anything. I was number 6th of 7, and the rain of fire came down on me. Everybody was crying. You thought our mother died. People were upset about the bird. And 10 years goes by, we're at our wedding, and my sister, who had, you know, was married to someone in the Air Force, was hardly ever at any family function. This is the first time in 10 plus years we were all together. And the ambush came. The ambush came. I should have seen it coming. They wanted to know what happened to Pretty Bird and what I did to Pretty Bird. Well, of course, I was a Christian then, and so I had to fess up how I killed the bird. Would y'all like to know? None of your business. So I'll tell you next time I preach. I'm out of time. It was an accident. The bird could talk. That's how the bird could talk. Now, he didn't go in his cage like he should have, and I had resorted to a certain measure to get him in, and it went bad. That's all I'll tell you. Hallelujah. Let me get to my point. I got 10 minutes. All right. So, in the area of pursuing God, the first thing you got to know, one, we covered it, right? You're a priest. You're supposed to come into the presence of God. You're supposed to pursue him. But you have an invitation. You are being offered this walk. Not salvation. That's easy to get. This relationship with the Lord that everybody listening to me internally wants. Everybody wants that connection. And there's no partiality. Everybody can come. Everybody that names the name of Jesus is invited to this relationship. When the veil was torn, when Jesus took his last breath, that was significant. And you've heard us talk about it before. The veil of the temple was like, some places say it was 40 feet high or and 20 feet across and 4 feet thick. And it said when he took his last, the temple, the veil that hid the Holy of Holies, the most holy place of all, right? The most holy place that only the high priest could go to once a year. Tradition, you won't find this in the Bible, was the presence of God was so awesome and had to be served in a particular way that they said that they tied a rope around his feet where if they didn't hear the bells on his robe, they knew he did something wrong and he was dead. they had to pull him out. Now, I don't know if that was true or not, but you'll see in the scriptures it was a very serious thing. Well, now when Jesus has come, the new agreement, the old agreement is going away, the old covenant. Now the new is coming and it's hidden behind that veil. So when that veil was torn and like an angel came and ripped it, it's in 3 of the Gospels, he ripped it and now the veil was open. Now each and every one of us can go through that veil and come into the presence of God without a priest, without the Virgin Mary, without your grandmama. You can come by yourself. Well, you don't know what all I've done. Well, we all have done stupid stuff, right? We're all broken. We're all fractured, right? Just repent. Tell God you're sorry or whatever. And you can go right in. He forgives. He forgets. 1 John 2, when it says he's the atoning sacrifice. It says he is the redeemer. That word means redeemer who breaks the curse. You're not under a curse any longer. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you. You can walk right into the presence of God. Here's another promise. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help and grace in the time of need. Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. It's God calling us. It's God wooing us. We talked this summer about God pursuing us. That is all in the scripture. He pursues us. He comes after us. But what he desires is you to reciprocate and start pursuing him. The church in America is anemic. It's anemic. We're anemic, which includes me. I mean, I'm having to readjust. Like, I got to take it up a couple of notches, right? I got to increase things, right? I got to increase my worship of the Lord. Another place talks about entering in to that holy place, that secret place where the presence of, excuse me, God is. Number two, you have an invitation. You also have the time, right? You have the time. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's James 4:8. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. No, that's the other part of the verse. That's supposed to be funny. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. What does that tell you? These are alignment scriptures that I use to realign myself, right? To realign myself. Because God is looking for that. Jesus met the woman at the well. He said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem, will worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Are you a true worshiper? For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. God is hunting for you. You have the time. You ever seen those little, I saw one the other day, and I don't even know the point. It was a teacher, and he was talking, I can't remember the point, but I'm using it for my point. So he took a jar and filled it full of marbles where you couldn't get another marble in the jar. You ever seen that? Golf balls, jar of marbles. He said, is it full? And everybody goes, yeah, it's full. You may say, my life is full. I don't have time. I don't have time. You have time. You might not have hour blocks of time. You don't need that. You need little bitty 10 minute throughout the day. So they take those marbles and he says, is it full? And they say, yes. Then he pours a whole cup of sand in there and it fills in all of the little areas. Then it becomes full. You have the time, right? You have the time. Let me read you this article from Susanna Wesley. It's called The Apron. And Susanna Wesley, how many people know who that is? Okay, three people. She was the mother of Charles Wesley, who wrote 6,500 hymns. Right? 60, and wrote the Hark the Herald Angel Sings. John Wesley started the Methodist Church. Those were her sons. Well, let me tell you what she did when it came to time. She had 19 children. All except 10 died in infancy. Debt, poverty, burned down. The house was burned down twice. I don't have time to read all of it. She had no time for the for entertainment or long hours in prayer. She worked the gardens, milked the cow, schooled the children, managed the entire household. She struggled to find a secret place to get away with him. So she advised her children that when they saw her with her apron over her head, that meant she was in prayer and couldn't be disturbed. Don't tell me you don't have the time, because you do. She was devoted to her walk with Christ, praying for her children and the knowledge of the word, no matter how hard it was. You have a place, number three. I love this scripture because in New King James and King James, it brings this out. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You have a place. It's called the secret place. And it could be under your apron. It could be It could be out in your car. It could be out at a park. Maybe you got a study. Maybe you got a real closet. Maybe you got a kneeling bench. It doesn't matter, because wherever you are, God is there. And that is your secret place. That is your secret place. Jesus answered and said to him in John 14, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." What a promise. What a fantastic promise. Well, I don't really feel God. Well, he's there. By the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son are there. Now, well, I thought they were in heaven. They are. Power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that comes into your life, he has made his home in you. You can pursue God if you so desire. You're going to have to do the little extra things. The last point is, there is a reward. God rewards those who diligently seek him. In order to come to God, we must believe this great truth, acting on our faith and passionately pursuing him. We will find the God whom we were created to enjoy. He has promised that we will not only find him, but we'll find him in all that our hearts desires. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Just read Matthew 6, if you go and you pray and you worship, not only does he see in secret, he rewards you openly. God is looking for wholeness in your life. God is looking for those little extra places that you reserve for things that aren't really him. Not trying to make you feel guilty, because I got to abide by the same thing I'm preaching. But I believe this is a word not just for us, but for the church in general. We're anemic. We're not making a difference. In pockets, it seems that way, especially in Dallas, with all the big churches. But no matter where you are in your walk, if you're doing everything that we kind of went over, then keep at it. Keep going. Excel even more. If you're a new believer, this is where you start. God, I want you more than anything else. I want you in my life. And when you pray that prayer and you're serious about it and you're consistently, whatever it is, reading good books, reading the Bible, listening to worship music, all of that is part of this. It's your hunger and thirst to pursue him because of who he is. Well, you know, I do a lot of work for, thank you for your work. Keep working. That's part of it. But pursuing him is completely different. When you pursue him, the Bible promises that you will find him. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just looking for new commitments here today. Looking for new commitments. Stir us up to seek your presence. That's one of our main core values here, is your presence and your presence alone. Starting with us on pastoral staff, our staff, our small group leaders. God, let us be a people that hunger and thirst after you and not just do things. Thank you for what has happened. Thank you for all the thousands of souls that have been saved in this building. Thank you for those that have gone on and started churches and have done great things for you. Lord, we want to keep going. You said pick up your cross daily. Every day is a new day. A new day that we want to search for you, seek you, and pursue you is our primary purpose. So thank you, God. Thank you. I pray you move by your spirit right now. Just if you keep your eyes closed, I'm not looking for a guilt trip here. I just want to know you've come in here and you're not there. You might not be saved, but most people come here, they're already saved or went to church. Or can you make a fresh commitment to pursue him? If you're already doing it, don't raise your hand. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody ready to make a new commitment to pursue him? Okay. Thank you for a few hands there. That tells me that most of you are kind of doing this, right? But what we're looking for is for something to raise the water level here to where when we take over that new campus, we take over other campus and we start outreaching, it comes almost effortlessly because your spirit goes before us. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity. You are dismissed. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give to partner with what God is doing through Trinity Dallas.